بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد
صلى الله عليه محمد
والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المطهرين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها ذليلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, who created this universe out of the love of His chosen ones. In reality, all of us were given existence because He wanted to show the love of Ahlul Bayt and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by creating us as beings that are going to be blessed with His compassion and mercy and forgiveness, He has put this love of Ahlul Bayt and Rasulullah in our hearts before we came into this world. Before we came into this world, there was another world that had different stages. At times this world was called Alam-i-Zar, and then it was called Alam-i-Arwah, and then it was called Alam-i-Mithaq. Alam-i-Zar means the world of particles, roughly translated into English. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when his body was created, saw that there were lights like stars. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are these? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that these are going to be your children. And he said that some of the lights are bright, some are dim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the brightness of the light determines their potential for me to test them. In that world where we existed, we were transferred into the universe or world of the souls, in where we had a life where we knew each other, we knew the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, we knew the light of Ahlul Bayt, we knew the light of the Prophets, we knew the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we knew all that there is to know in, as far as the realities of this universe are concerned. After knowing all of this, we were transferred into the world of mithaq or promises, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took some promises from us. One of them you can see in Surah Yasin, where He says, "Alam ahad ilaykum ya bani adama an la ta'budu shaitan." That, "O bani Adam, O progeny of Adam, did I not take a promise from you that you will not worship shaitan?" إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ, that He is your clear enemy. There's other places as well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with that particular subject matter. The thing is that once we come into this world, we forget about all that we had before this world. For certain remains, certain inclinations are still there. There is a hadith of the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam.
That every child who is born in this world is born on the fitrat of Islam, meaning the inclinations of Islam. Meaning every child is inclined towards God Almighty. Every child is inclined towards a guide. Every child is inclined towards a day of justice and judgment. Every child is born with the inclination to love justice. Every child is born with the inclination to love the truth. And it is the parents that will make him a Christian or a Jew. But when this child grows up to be and becomes an adult and starts thinking, just like a person who is born in a Muslim family, they both happens to be in the same boat where they have to decide on their own what faith or path they're going to choose. And with their own understanding, with the inclination already there, they have to come to the conclusion where they will say that I bear witness that there is no one worthy of love, obedience, or worship other than Allah. When you say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ilah comes in the meaning of someone that you find worthy of love, obedience, and what? Worship. So if somebody calls someone God because they have found that thing to be worthy of love, obedience, and worship, otherwise they will not call that thing God. So through your intellect, through all of the power and potential that Allah SWT has given you, the power of choice, the power of will, the power of reason, the person has to come to this conclusion on their own where they can bear witness to the fact that there is nothing else worthy of love, obedience, or worship other than Allah. After they come to this conclusion, the next conclusion they will come up to is that this Allah who is worthy of love, obedience, and worship must have sent someone who can guide us with the inclinations that we have towards Him. So the concept of prophethood is also something that a person would accept. That, you know, if they have to find someone, they need a guide to find someone. So now that we do not remember what happened in that particular world, now that we are here, if I was to give you the example, just like I am here with you, I have a life in Toronto, if I was to hit my head and I would get amnesia, right? You guys have heard of amnesia? Where I forget everything, and I don't know where I am. So where am I? So okay, you are in, where am I? I don't know the name of the town. Wasn't you in St. Louis? How did I get here? I don't know, listen. You got on a plane, you got here. I don't remember coming on a plane. Do I have a wife? Do I have kids? Do I have a family? Do I have friends? Do I have people that I knew, I loved? We don't know. Because I've got amnesia, I don't know. But I would see, let's say, I would have this sort of feeling that, you know, like for example, I would, if I was to smell a certain perfume, I'd be like, I've smelled this perfume before and it belonged to someone, but I don't remember who. It's like we saw each other maybe for the first time, but some of you, it seems that I've known you from before. I don't know from where. But every human being, 7 billion people, they have this sort of phenomena where people will see each other, they will think that they've known each other forever. But with some people, they never click. It's like they will spend time with them, but they'll never click. So there are certain things that we still have remaining into our minds and hearts that are from the life that we had before this life. And one of those things is the love of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because if you think about it, Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam we never saw. 1400 years ago, the event of Karbala happened. Even some of us might not have even gone to Karbala where we can actually go physically see the Zari or the grave of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yet we have spent most of our life in crying, in love, attending majalis, coming to, you know, doing matam, having this sort of love inside of our hearts which we do not understand where it came from. My grandfather passed away, okay, I cried, but that's it. Like hardly I will remember him. But with Imam Hussein, every year in Muharram, when his name comes, when I hear about the atrocities that were committed, my heart breaks. And I don't know why. It's because of that love that we brought in this world. And Imam Masumin al-Husalam also have said that our love does not get into the heart of a person until their heart is tried. Before we came into this world, that particular world where we made the promises, we were also tried. Now, I don't want to go too much into detail about that, but there are certain things that we can talk about. Fitratullah allati fatara an-nasa 'alayha la tabdila li khalqillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made all of human beings with the same inclinations as His, and there is no change in His creation. Everybody in nature wants to have a God. Whether they call God a stone, a cow, a sun, whatever it is. But since humanity has been there, they're saying that there is a God. There was a time in that world where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought all of humanity and then asked them a question, Alastu bi Rabbik, who is your Lord? And they all qalu, bala, everybody replied that you are our Lord. So that remains in the minds of human beings that there is a God. And even the people who turn atheists, you cannot deny something that is not there. Even if they say that there is no God, that means that they are trying to deny something which actually exists. If the existence is not there, you cannot deny it. Okay, I deny fire. Well, how can you deny fire? Because fire exists. I deny aliens. Denying alien would only mean that if the existence of aliens are there. Otherwise, this denying it does not make any sense. So in the fitrat of human beings, there are certain things that are there. It is in our nature. In nature, it says that if you find someone who is just, who is compassionate, who is merciful, who is patient, automatically you fall in love with that person. But this concept of justice has come to us because there were certain tribes where we understood what the concept of justice is. In Surah Kafi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that time, He created a fire. And He told the people to jump into it. All of the souls were told to jump into it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jumped, Imam Ali, Anbiya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone, you know, jumped. Other than some people like me, stayed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, I asked you to jump while you're asking us to jump into fire. Someone, but I ordered you to jump. He said, no, we're not going to jump into fire, even though you're ordering us. He said, okay, then you're going to be the people of the left, like Ashab Shuma. So you're going to be the ones who are going to burn in fire for him. He said, no. My apologies. Can you give us another chance? He said, okay. One of the people that had gone already in fire was told to come out. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered again. The same people, the same group went in, and then I was still there. So what happened? Well, it wasn't fair, you know, they didn't burn. So okay, why don't you jump now? I don't know if it's a real test or not. So I said, okay, again, you are going to be Ashabi Shumal, these are going to be Ashabi Yameen, these are going to be the people that are going to burn forever, these are going to be the people who are going to go to heaven. He said, no, this is not fair. Try again. So again, the same thing in the same group, and I'm still standing there. Hey, look, now what? Now, okay, here's another thing we will do. You know, I would like to be tried again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay. What we will do is we will put you on this earth, and I will try you every single moment of your life. So that when you come back to me, you do not have any excuse. And the people who had become successful in that trial, they were given also, they wanted to be tried again. They said, we would like to be tried again so we can show our love to you. So Allah said, okay, in this world you will come, you will land. The people who were going to, who broke their promises, who were going to go to hell, you have the opportunity to get out of it and then achieve the levels of heaven. The people who have already succeeded, they also have the opportunity to increase your levels, or you can decrease your levels. And I'll test you every single moment of your life. On the Day of Judgment, you will still find some people saying, send us back. They'll say, please, you know, send us back. When we go back this time, we will make sure that we are successful in all of the tests. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, even if I sent you back so many times, still you are going to do the same thing. And you look at some people and you're amazed that, you know, someone who has the event of Karbala, has Imam Hussein as their Imam, they're still afraid of death. They're still afraid of sacrifice. They still don't have patience. They still do not want to put a voice against oppression. They still do not want to do Amar bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. They have all of this example in Karbala, yet they do not want to do any of that. So basically, the test that is going to be, or is given to us, do you remember I told you there was only one test? This is a test to ask you the question. In the second majlis that we had, maybe it was the first majlis, this is a test for me too. Remember we mentioned to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of His creations. In the Quran, there are three types of verses that deal with the purpose. One type of verses that deal with the purpose of creation is rahmat, is mercy, compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where His creation can achieve the highest level of success and happiness. The second group of verses is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I've created man and jinn for worship. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We've heard this many times. That I've not created man or jinn other than for worship. The third category is dealing with test. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ. What was it? أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That He's the one who's created life and death so that He can test among you who do the best of all deeds. With me, so. So to be able to achieve that ultimate success, two things human beings need to do. One is they have to go through the trials, and the second is they have to worship Allah. If they do that, they will be able to achieve the highest level of success and happiness, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them in this world for. So in reality, that is our purpose. See? But the test I told you was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only tests you on one thing, and that is your iman. All of the tests that you think are tests, like you know how you have chemistry, you have biology, you guys have physics, you study physics, no? Math everybody likes. The paper of math is only, the subject is just math, but in that paper there's many different questions, but they all deal with math. True? In the paper of math, you don't have questions about biology or chemistry. Right? In the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to all of us, is only the paper is called Iman. So it tests you with poverty, just to see how you are in your faith. It tests you with disease, just to see your faith. All of the things that it tests human beings here, it is all a test of what? Iman. You guys want to read aloud, Salawat?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The attention span of human beings have gone down to between 2 to 4 minutes. It used to be around 6 to 9, but now it's around 2 to 4 minutes. So all of our tests is actually fate. And if you want to find out whether you're passing or failing, you can actually just look at yourself, just your physical appearance, you can see whether you're passing the test of fate or not. You don't even have to look inside of your soul. Just look at your face, just look at your attire, just look at your... You will be able to see whether you're passing or failing. When the time for fajr comes, if you don't get up, if you're sleeping, you can tell if you're passing the test of faith or not. If you get, you know, if you're sick and then in sickness you are complaining and, you know, doing all of that, you can see if you're passing the test of faith or not. Worship basically just means that you do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His love. Anything that you do for His love is worship. Okay? So far so good? So three things, they're all interconnected. We're supposed to achieve the ultimate happiness and success. Karbala gives us all of these three things. In Karbala, people were tested, and the test was of their faith. They worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they gave everything in His way out of love, and they achieved the ultimate success and happiness, which on the Day of Judgment they will be with Imam Hussain and Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Imam Masumin and Imam Hussain. Sahih? There was three things that we were going to talk about. One was self-analysis, which we've already talked about. The other was yesterday's majlis. We talked about Karbala has it has the means for us to ask for forgiveness, true forgiveness, where we can purify our soul. And in the morning of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when you shed your tears, your sins are forgiven. But that doesn't mean that just because your sins are forgiven that you have a blank check that you can continue committing the sins. Right? Today we were supposed to talk about Karbala is an expression to show our love for the Prophet and his family. We have come here to show our love. We mentioned to you that love we have already taken from before we came into this world. Right? We have different traditions, we have different, you know, verses of Quran that deal with the love of Ahlul Bayt. And we are going to talk about love in aspect of common sense, and then we will also talk about some of the traditions and the Holy Quran. Love is a concept that all of human beings, they understand. Yes? Everybody understands the concept of love. Everybody understands it through common sense and also through their nature. Like for example with your kids, you say to them, you know, you should listen to me. Why should you listen to me? Because I'm your... what? Father. True? And then if they still don't listen to you, you say, well, don't you love me? Like, don't you care about me? Generally, that's the second one. Then the last is the card that we come out with authority. You know, I'm your father. But first is, you listen to me. If you don't listen to them, say, don't you love me? I love you. Okay, if you love me, then listen to me. Then still, if they don't listen, say, well, am I not your dad? You're supposed to listen to me. Right? We know that with love comes obedience. It's common sense. Like, teacher, what is the right of a teacher?
To teach.
Teacher is supposed to teach. What is the right of the students to the teacher? Yes.
To listen.
To listen, to obey. Does it require any religion or ahadith or Quran? No? Okay. Grandparents, the same thing. Boss, your boss. Your boss, you know, you say to him, boss, I really love you. He's not going to give you any raise just by saying that I love you. He's going to say, okay, if you want raise, you need to do what I'm saying to you. If you do what I'm saying to you, you'll get your raise. Boss needs to be obeyed. You're the employee, you have to obey your boss. True? What about Mawla? What does Mawla mean? What does Mawla mean? Mawla means master. What is the right of the master? If you are the slave and you have a master, what is his right? Yes.
You have to obey him.
You have to obey him. You say to your master, I really love you. I love you so much. And I brought this love from the life before this life. But I'm not going to obey you. Have you given the right to your Mawla? Have you given the right to your master? No. When it comes to our kids, we are very much concerned that they should obey us because they love us and because we are given vilaya over them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us vilaya, meaning authority over them. And because Allah has given us authority over them, it is our right that they should obey. When it comes to Imam Ali, when it comes to Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, when it comes to Imam Masumin, do they not have vilaya? Do they not have the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They do. Then if they have the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do we not obey them? Why is it that we just say that we love you? Why is it that we say that I'm going to come, I'm going to shed my tears out of love for you? But when Imam Hussain says, okay, what about the lesson of sacrifice that I taught you? What about the lesson of sacrifice that I taught you through the blood of Ali Asghar? What about that? I'm not going to sacrifice. What about the lesson of patience that I taught you? I'm not going to have patience. What about the love? What about the lesson of sincerity to become the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I taught you? I'm not going to do that. What are you going to do? I'm just going to say I love you. In any common sense, in the nature of human beings, if you say to someone you love them, automatically the greatest sense of obedience comes between the two people who love each other. And if the obedience is not there, people will say that the love that you are claiming for, it is actually false. Because if you really truly loved me, you would what? Obey me. Do we not do this emotional blackmail to our kids? Right? Say, so if you really love me, you're going to do this. We do that. Yet when it comes to Imam Masumin alayhi salam, we just love you. And you find people who are in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all year round, and then for the month of Muharram they will come out of the love of Imam Hussain, they will shed some tears, which they will be given the reward of their sins being forgiven, but then after that they're back to the disobedience of Allah. And that is something which is a very big problem among us. The verse of Quran says what? Kulla as'alukum alayhi ajr illa mawaddata fil qurba wa man yaqtarif hasanatan fanazid lahu fiha husna. The rest of the verse, that I do not ask for any reward from you other than the mawadda of my near ones. And whoever does this good deed, we will increase in their good deed. Mawadda is translated into English as love, but mawadda in Arabic is very much different than love. Mawadda means that two people have emotions for each other. This emotion, if you want to call love, this emotion is so strong that they are not worried about their own rights. That they are worried about the rights of the other. Meaning what? Between husband and wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also said that I have put mawadda. What is that? That the wife is worried about the rights of the husband and the husband is worried about the rights of the wife. Very much different. One situation is that I'm worried about my rights and she's worried about her rights. And when we have a fight, we say, you didn't give my right. And she says, you didn't give my right. Mawadda means that I give the right to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. I do not worry about my own rights. And Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam give me my right. I do not go to Imam Hussain and say, can you do this for me? But I say to Imam Hussain, what can I do? For you. Not that I need a child, so if you can pray for me so I can have a child. What about your right? What about the right of Imam Hussein? That is obedience. I'm not going to give that to you. Mawadda means that you take care of the right of the other and the other takes care of your rights. If we take care of the rights of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they will take care of our rights. And if they are still taking care of our rights, it's because they come from a generous family. Because they understand that in this world, you are under the circle of the compassion and mercy of Allah, that is Ar-Rahman. And that is general mercy and compassion for everybody. But for Ar-Rahim, which is specific for the Day of Judgment and what we have done, over there, if the person was in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this claiming to love Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is not going to come as any benefit. Prophet said, I don't want any reward from you. The only thing I'm asking for, give the right to my Ahlul Bayt. Worry about their rights. If we were to worry about their rights, you know what? We would be a very different nation today. We would be a very different nation. We have always dealt with our leaders that way. Especially the pious and righteous ones. You've seen it in Pakistan. Shahid Arif, everybody's just worried about their own rights. Nobody's worried about his rights. If you look at all of the leaders around the world that were righteous and pious, people want to just give us something. I mentioned to you that when we commit a sin, it is an arrow that goes on the heart of Imam Zaman Sanders. We are worried about our own selves, we're not worried about the heart of the Imam. Then let's not throw arrows at him. Right? So actually there is another verse that deals with the same sort of topic. Kulla as'alukum alayhi ajri. Illa man yasha' yattakhiza ila rabbihi sabila. That I do not ask for any reward from you other than whoever chooses to take the path towards Allah. Now both either are different or they both mean the same. Meaning if we are going to give the rights to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, what is their right? We are going to be on the path that is going to take us towards Allah. And in that would be the reward that the Prophet is asking for. And that reward that the Prophet is asking, the reward's benefit is for whom? For me. The reward's benefit is for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his level is not going to be increased or decreased. If I do not obey them, it is my own fault. It is my own nuqsan. It is my own loss. Not of the Imamah Sunnahs. So in reality, when we say that we love you, when we say to Ahlul Bayt that we love you, that means that we are saying that we will obey you. You are our master. The people in Kufa, they wrote in the letters to Imam Hussain that they loved them. 18,000 letters were sent. Imam has been gone for 1200 years. If every year half of the Shias wrote a letter to the Imam, the 12th Imam, it comes up to about 150,000 Shias. Let's say every year wrote a letter, it comes to about 18 trillion letters that have been sent to the Imam. And I did the calculation one time. 18 trillion letters, 150,000 people writing a letter once a year. Multiply that once a year by 1200, and approximately what you will get is about 18 trillion. 18 trillion letters have been sent to the 12th Imam, saying to him what? Al-Ajal. Al-Ajal, Al-Ajal. We love you, we love you. Come to us. And either in our love, we are not sincere, we are not prepared. Why would it be that someone has been given 18 trillion letters and the person still decides not to come yet? When Imam Hussein was given 18,000 letters, he sent Hazrat Muslim ibn Akil, and Hazrat Muslim ibn Akil saw these people that had paid allegiance, who had emotions, who had tears in their eyes, who said that we love you, told Imam Hussein to come. Imam Hussein went. Because once is enough. Once is enough. You better learn from the example of those people of Kufa. And until and unless you learn from the example of the people of Kufa, you can send 18 trillion. I will only come when you are ready. Can you imagine that? In what state we are in? We say that we love Imam Hussain Satosh. Where is the obedience? There was a, you know, all of the problems that we see in the community, everybody is claiming to be a bigger lover of Imam Hussain and saying that you are a lesser lover of Imam Hussain. So what does the bigger lover of Imam Hussain does? The bigger lover of Imam Hussain says that I will have another place where I can do my azaw of Imam Hussain in a way that you cannot do it. And the smaller one says, okay, fine, I will go and do the same thing. And before you know it, all of these lovers of Imam Hussain, they have like 5, 10, 15 different places where the azaw of Imam Hussain is going on. And then they read Zayarat Ashura saying, Inni Salmun Liman Salamakum Wa Harbun Liman Harbakum Wa Adukun Liman Adakum Wa Muhibbun Liman Ahabbakum. I will make peace with whoever has made peace with you. I will be in war whoever has come in war with you. I will be an enemy of whomever is an enemy of you. I will love anyone who is in love with you. Yet, they both say we love Imam Hussain Satosh. We are in perils right now. And for our kids, for our youth, you know, you guys have to learn from our mistakes. The love of Imam Hussain is a great responsibility. In that responsibility, you need to obey Imam Hussain Satosh. If you do not have obedience of Imam Hussain Satosh, what we will get is what we have now. There'll just be arguments about how much someone loves Imam Hussain, but his principles, his purpose of Karbala would not be acted upon. So, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that ability to be able to become true slaves and obedient lovers of Imam Hussain Satosh, and not to be like us, become better than us. Okay? Because the time for that Karbala is coming, the time where Imam Hussain Satosh is going to come, and our love is going to be tested. And it is going to be in the obedience. Whomever was in the obedience of the Imam of the time would be the one who would be with him. I'll give you one example again on the same topic, and then inshallah we'll finish it. How long have I been speaking to?
4 years.
I am a Masumi al-Musham, all of them. They are alive. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتَ بَلْ أَحْيَا. Do not consider those people who have been killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as dead, they are alive. عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْضَقُونَ, that with their Lord, they are having their sustenance. Okay. all of the Imam Masumin alayhi wasalam who were martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are alive. They are not dead. Even a person, like for example, like myself, if I was to be martyred in the way of Allah, you cannot call me dead. I am alive. Now this being alive, what does that mean? This being alive means that if I was to say Assalamu alayka, Ya Aba Abdullah, Imam Hussain would say Wa alaykum assalam. If I was to call upon him right now, if I was to ask him, Ya Mawla, or my master, with the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you, with that status I ask for your sake to help me in such and such. He would be able to help me in such and such. And you can find millions of examples. If I'm in any difficulty, I would say, Ya Sahib al-Zaman Adrikni. As soon as I would say, Ya Sahib al-Zaman Adrikni, I will get my help. Even this help reaches those people who are not of the same faith as us. In India, there was this person, he's a Hindu. And Hindus, they love Imam Hussain. You know, like, they have processions, they have julus, they participate in the julus, they do matam, you know, they cry, they will do nazar, they will give food. This Hindu loved Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he had an account specifically made for Sayyid Hussain. He would have an account which was part of Sayyid Hussain, the account name of Sayyid Hussain. So every year he would put some money and he would give to his accountant to put some money into this account, Sayyid Hussain's account. So one time his business, you know, started to get lost and, you know, he lost all of his money. The accountant came up to me and said that, you know, why don't you ask Sayyid Hussain for some help? Because every year you've been giving, putting money into his account, you know, you can ask him for some help. And this Hindu said, don't ever talk about this subject again. He said, whatever I have put into the account of Sayyid Hussain, it is his. Who am I to ask? Who am I to ask? And then this accountant, you know, goes back from his room and comes back with an envelope. Comes back with an envelope, says that, you know, when I went back, the door knocked, a person came, gave this envelope, and said, this is from Sayyid Hussain. And the person, this is a true story. Person came in, opened the envelope, all of the money that he had lost were present in that envelope. And they are so merciful and they're so compassionate that even if a Hindu loves them, in this world they will give whatever that this person is asking for. Is this what their right is towards us, that someone who loves us so much that even to the point that Imam Ali has said that when you sneeze and you say Alhamdulillah, we say Yarhamukumullah. Someone who loves us so much that Imam Zaman has said that you do not know how I am waiting for you, like a mother who has lost her child. Just how the mother is waiting for the child to return, I am waiting for you that way. Someone, these beings who love us so much, is this what our responsibility towards them is? That we just claim to love them and do nothing? The atrocities that were committed after Karbala. And when we hear, you know, because we have been hearing it for so long, it becomes difficult sometimes for us to cry. But if you can imagine, you know, you have a picture of Karbala in your mind, you know, you try to imagine that Imam Hussain with 120 wounds, that some of the books have narrated that Imam had on his body, and some books narrate that when he fell from Zulzanab, he did not touch the sand of Karbala for a little while because of the arrows that were stuck in his body. And that shirt that he was wearing, it has been narrated that this shirt is with the 12th Imam. And the 12th Imam looks at the shirt that has the holes of spears that have been cut by sword, that have been made hole in by stones with arrows. Imam looks at this blood-stained shirt of Imam Hussein and cries while he's waiting to come back. If you can imagine Imam Hussein in this condition, he's lying there and these enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are afraid. They said that when Imam had fell, he became unconscious. And these enemies of Allah were so afraid to come close to Imam Hussein that nobody wanted to come. So they said, let's see if Hussein is alive. So how are we going to find out if he's alive? Let these horses go towards the camp of Hussein. If Hussein is alive, you will see movement in his body. You know, after namaz we do this, that we put our right cheek and then we put our left cheek and then we put our forehead on Turbat of Imam Hussein. In Nafsul Mahmoom, it has been narrated that when the enemies ordered the horses to go towards the camp of Imam Hussein, Imam Hussein was in such a condition he could not lift his head. So while he was bowed down, he grabbed a bit of sand of Karbala and made a little bit of higher ground where he could place his cheek so he can see towards the camp. He did that on his right cheek, he did that on his left cheek, and then he had his forehead on the sand of Karbala. And that we do that even not knowing what is the history behind that. Imam Hussein's love for the daughters of the Prophet was so great, but these enemies of Allah did not care. You know, they started beating this drum and they started taking these horses on a very, very fast speed. All the little kids of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, they started to scatter, and some of the kids even got trampled by the horses that were coming. And these people, they came with the spears that they had, they took the hijabs of the bibis from the daughters of the Prophet from their head. And then they started to rob them, and then they started to burn the camp of Imam Hussein. And you know, Bibi Zainab, she grabbed all of the kids, and she had the daughters of the Prophet with her. They would burn one camp, and she would run into the other. They would burn that one, she would run into the other one. Until she reached Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam, and she said, you know, you are the Imam of the time. What is the hukm? What is the ruling for us? What is the order for us? Should we stay inside of the tents and get burned alive? Or should we go outside? Because going outside means that we have to go outside without hijab. We do not have our chadars on us. What do you say? Imam said, you must go outside. And when they went outside, the people, the Namahram people, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who were looking at them, this was the first time the babies had to bear this atrocity, this difficulty, but this was not the last time. You know, in the streets of Kufa, when the babies were taken, they were made prisoners, that they had one rope. My little brothers can probably imagine this better than the adults. They had one rope in which they had tied the rope in the necks. So some of the kids were very young, so they were small. The other were, heights were different. And this neck, the rope was tied, and in the front was Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam. So when he would walk, this rope would get tightened. And at times he would fall down. This was the condition that they were paraded in. They were put in a prison that only had space. There were 50 people and there was a space for 20 people. There were many nights that Bibi Zainab Salamnaleha had to stand all night. They were given food for 20 people and there were 50. There were many nights that Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam had to stay hungry. And Bibi Zainab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after they were released, Bibi Zainab sallallahu alayhi with the little kids and the daughters of the Prophet started doing the azab in Imam Hussain sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what we are doing today as well, we have our little kids here, we have our sisters. But the images of Karbala are not as fresh in our minds as it was in theirs. And today we have to continue this sunnah, this way of Bibi Zainab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever we are, whichever state we are in, we have to continue this. And we have to tell our kids to continue this. And our expression of love is in the tears that come out of our eyes. We have to continue having these tears come out of our eyes and of our children. And we have to make sure that we become obedient servants and we start giving the rights of our salam. Inshallah, by the grace and mercy of Allah ta'ala and the compassion of Allah, the one who is watching me, the one who is hearing me, the one who has created me, out of all of His mercy and compassion that He has, may He accept our little effort that we put in. May Bibi Zainab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be happy with the azah of Imam Hussain that we tried. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this as a source of forgiveness for our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true obedience to Ahlul Bayt. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our intentions sincere. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finish all of the disagreements and disunity among us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of our muraji and our ulama. May the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from true friends and followers of Imam Zaman. May He come as soon as possible. The enemies of Allah, the ones who committed those atrocities, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them out of His mercy and increase in their punishment.